magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 156. And just so you know, Adam has been practicing singing the theme song. So, yeah. practicing. Yeah.
The theme song to the show?
No.
Oh, the Pat's News.
The Pat's News. Oh, nice. Oh, so you brought your own notepad with nothing on it. So you have no notes.
I'm making notes of what you guys are saying.
Oh, so you're going to copy what we say? Or you?
Colin said something stupid again.
True?
We're not playing the trivia, but yes. Pat's News was a big success.
False.
Okay. Well, I'm Colin LeGrand, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Josh is homesick.
We're sad.
We're very sad.
Yeah, so he kind of cookies.
Yeah, no cookies, and he kind of balanced things out.
He's not deathly ill, though.
No, he was here today, got his books, complained about everything online, so... No, just actually commented on what you were complaining about. Mm. Yeah.
It'll be all a part of Pat's News.
Okay. So.
Maybe. Pat doesn't have anything on his news.
I guess we should start with Pat's News, and then I want to go over something that I did last week.
Okay. Well, there's not a whole lot of news.
I didn't think there was.
No, but I did get a couple things. The Fantastic.
Really? That was very half-hearted.
It was the Express song because we were starting. Well, I had to get it done. Okay.
That, yeah. The Fantastic Four trailer came out.
Yes. Adam, from what I understand, loved it.
Well, I'll let you rail on it if you'd like to.
Okay. First of all, this is basically what I've been saying about this trailer was that for all what it looked like, it looked pretty. I'll say that. It looked pretty. It looked very nice compared to the other, the effects and everything of the previous Fantastic Four film. It looked pretty, but...
With one exception.
Nothing. No Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
Well, okay, two.
That would have made it a lot prettier, but the whole trailer did not scream Fantastic Four at all. Like, there was no way the only thing that did, and I think you said that, was that the only thing that said it was at the end when it said Fantastic Four, and I was just like, but if you take that away.
And there was kind of a guy that kind of sort of maybe looked like the Thing, kind of.
Yeah, it could have been anything, though. Like, and it was shadowed. It was all dark. So, we didn't see that. We saw kind of Reed Richards' arm stretch, but it was, like, off screen, so we couldn't really see it.
Yeah.
And I think we saw Human
Johnny
Torch,
Storm
like,
kinda,
way in the background of the picture.
Kind of turned into fire,
we saw somebody burst in the flames. Could have been anybody, but it might have been an accident. I don't know. And then my one big complaint was they didn't even show the villain. Which in this film, like...
Well, who is the villain?
That's the thing. We don't
we already
know that.
Sure we do.
If it's Doom...
It's Doom, the hacker.
So could they have at least given us some idea of what he looks like or something? I don't know. Just
they're saving that because it's going to be so mind blowing.
Yeah, well, and it was a teaser trailer.
It just didn't sell me.
And that was my problem with it. It didn't make me want to go see it any more than I didn't want to see it before. It looked like a generic trailer.
Yeah,
and that was the problem. Now I wasn't expecting, you know, the Age of Ultron trailer. That made me want to see.
But,
the movie, which I wanted to see it anyway. That made me, you know, I got to see what Ultron looks like. It had, you know, the Hulkbuster armor, so you knew that was coming. It showed action sequences. This was, you know, pretty pictures and a voiceover, and there was nothing exciting.
The thing about Age of Ultron was, and this is why I thought it was a fairly good teaser for what it was, and I thought, basically, I'm already ready for that movie. Just for that teaser, I'm just like, that looks good. Like, it's going to be good. Why does it do that? Well, it showed us, basically it showed us the heroes, showed us our characters that we know. It gave us an idea of what this movie is going to be kind of about.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gives us the idea that it's probably going to be their downfall. Like, this movie might be their falling. The Avengers, they're up because they saved... New York and all that, and then this movie, things are not working out exactly how they're supposed to be. Plus, they're too tied to S.H.I.E.L.D., which is another thing. And I think, and then not only that, they made the villain such a big, important part of this, and they showed us Ultron, but they didn't show us too much of Ultron. They just showed us enough. They didn't show us how he was created, any of that kind of thing.
Plus, they had Got No Strings.
Yeah, and then they had that. So all the whole teaser, and this was a teaser, not a trailer. It's, but still, in all truthiness, in all
truthiness. Oh, you Stephen Colbert?
Truthiness. It did. It that song even drug you into it.
Yeah.
Just by adding that and having that. And even though, yeah, they're part of Disney and whatever, they took what they had from Disney and they had fun with that.
Yeah.
As a teaser, it worked.
I just can't understand the need to ground the Fantastic Four in reality.
Yeah, like that's
this. Because I think that's the complete opposite of what this movie should be.
Yeah.
Of what a Fantastic Four movie should be. I want it to be big, with the bombastic villains. You know, I want Galactus and Annihilus and
not a giant dust cloud.
And crazy, not a giant dust cloud. And crazy stuff in the negative zone and crazy science experiments and all that kind of stuff. But I was just thinking, you know, it's like they're ashamed it's the Fantastic Four because they're, like, hiding the powers in the trailer, like Adam was saying. And
there wasn't enough to say, you know, if you're trying to really sell this – really, they are trying to sell this to a lot of kids, too, because we already know the characters.
But there's nothing in there that was going to sell it.
There's nothing in there that's going to tell them what the Fantastic Four are, what they do.
You didn't even get a good shot of the Thing. And really,
we didn't get anything of Invisible Woman at all.
No.
We didn't see if she turned invisible, if she... Was she there? Was the actress who's playing?
Well, maybe that's the whole point.
She was in the background the whole time. Yeah,
you couldn't see her.
Ha-ha.
She's
invisible.
Touché. I don't think it did a good job of selling me on wanting to see the movie.
Now, you watched it yesterday, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
What did you say?
No, there wasn't a whole lot there. And the voiceover was a little over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a world where death comes. Yeah, it was just a little much.
Settle down, Francis.
It's just what's fantastic. Like, I've always liked the Fantastic Four, and I think the comics
too bad.
Went down.
Comics book. Canceled,
and,
never to be back,
ever.
I just like them because they are kind of Marvel-esque. Like
they all get killed in Battleworld.
They aren't really totally like superheroes, and sometimes they have issues like that they have to deal with. You know, family stuff. Now they have kids; they have to deal with that. They have to live in a house with their kids in this building. You know, in the Baxter Building, and
Dragon
Man.
Reed
is such a flawed character. And that's one thing about him. Ben is just trying to live his life in the way he is. You know, Johnny Storm's the way he is. And then Sue is such a strong female lead, I think, in Marvel. And I don't think they play her up as much as they really should. They did in Civil War. I really did think they played her up a lot in Civil War. That she was, you know, basically, Reed is Reed Richards, but she is actually the control of that family.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. And she's what really holds it all together. And it just, there's stuff that they're just missing from Fantastic Four. It comics, this movie, I'm sure. I don't know. I mean, I just don't see it. I just don't see this movie really taking off like they think it's going to. Which is all good. I don't plan on really seeing it. I don't really want to see it.
No.
Unless I see a trailer soon that shows more of what they're planning here. That's the thing I don't understand. There's too many unknowns right now to this whole movie where we have a bunch of rumors that everything's changing in the whole entire movie.
Well, yeah, they're refilming half the movie.
Yeah, I mean, even if the cast, you know, I know a lot of people were commenting on Johnny Storm being black and that he is an adopted brother.
No.
Or she's adopted.
She's adopted.
And I was thinking that the I could be wrong, but I was thinking that the narrator of the teaser was the father.
No, it wasn't.
So it isn't?
No, the guy that plays the father, he's been in a lot of things, but if you've ever seen the movie SWAT, he was the guy that was in charge. Not Samuel L. Jackson, but the guy that was over him.
It's been a while since
he's been in a bunch of stuff, but that's the only thing that kind of pops out in my head he's been. His name is Reg something. But so it wasn't him. I think it was Doom was the one narrating.
That's possibilities, yeah.
It
just... just nothing. They're not showing us anything. If they show us something that's happening, if they show us, you know, a little bit, like, what the villain is. Is he a hacker now, but then he's, like, a smart guy and he becomes Doom, or is he just a computer hacker and that's his only thing? But, you know, is it more? What is...
But let's
know, who are these people?
Let's like, ignore that preview. Trailer for just a second and go back to the Star Wars trailer that came out a few months ago.
Okay.
Similar premise in that you're introducing new characters and that's kind of what they're showing.
Yeah,
they're not really showing anything in the plot of the movie. But, like, there were certain moments that it hit, you know, like when the Millennium Falcon came out, the third, you know, the lightsaber, it was meant to say, oh, wow, that's cool. I want to go see this movie. That trailer lacked anything like that, and that was the problem. It just there was nothing to grab me and say.
There was a few things in that. I still don't think it was a very good teaser, the Star Wars teaser. My reasoning behind that is that it didn't have. It just had a lot of things flashing all over the screen all at once, and then it was just like Millennium Falcon, Star Wars, you know. And I was just like, okay,
but
yeah, that's
almost...
all the things that are in Star Wars, stormtroopers, and...
Well, yeah, but that's...
I think that's why so many people were shocked about the black stormtrooper, that they're just straight out like, oh my god, that was something different that we haven't seen before,
because
that was the only thing in that
armor.
Teaser that we didn't see before.
Yeah, they never took their armor off.
Yeah, they have no armor. That's what people were shocked by.
Palpatine
was
a lot of
things. That would have been more of a shock, but everybody's just like, oh, he's black, what?
Well, Palpatine was a lot of things, but he wasn't a racist.
Yeah. Yes, he was. If anything, they were. They had to have been. I mean, they didn't even bring in aliens to be stormtroopers. Well, we don't know.
That's the whole point. We don't know. It could have been.
I mean, they in a way, they're aliens. Because if they were clone troopers,
if you use the extended universe,
the Mandalorians.
If you look at the extended universe, then they absolutely did.
Well, I'm going to say they had to be a very humanoid species of alien.
We're all young.
They couldn't have been like they couldn't have been like Hutts. Hutts couldn't be stormtroopers.
That's a lot.
They didn't have the armor. They didn't have big enough helmets. You know, I can't see it working.
Jabba the stormtrooper.
I'm gonna say to answer that question, yes. The Emperor Palpatine was a racist.
Okay. So, are we done beating up the trailer?
Yeah, it was bad. It just bad.
Okay.
Oh, God, you're not going to mention Ghostbusters, are you?
No, I will not mention that at all.
We're not even going to talk about that.
Nope. They cast the Purple Man for Jessica Jones.
Hey, he did mention it.
They did,
David Tennant.
Yes.
David Tennant. We talked about it. We were like, I wonder how biased Pat will be, because you don't watch Doctor Who.
No.
Okay. But we wanted to see if you'd mention it, though.
Yeah. Okay. No, he's been in another thing. He was in Harry Potter, too.
Yeah.
That's probably the only thing I've seen him in.
He was in Harry Potter.
He was in the Goblet of Fire. He was a guy that was pretending
he was
moody.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally missed that.
He was Barty Crouch Jr.
Barty Crouch Jr. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
He's in a show called what's that show you're watching? That you were watching?
Oh, Grace Point.
Okay, and then he's in the British.
Oh, you're on the BBC. Yeah.
Broadchurch on the BBC.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Breaking news, Pat.
Breaking.
This just in.
This just in.
And the other thing I got was apparently Fox is moving forward with an X-Men show.
Yeah, I saw that too. That's gonna be interesting.
Which they've done that before.
Oh, they casted three people.
Yeah.
Still don't understand it.
Well, the one I do.
I don't know who they are.
The only one I know is Sansa. Sansa is going to be Jean Grey.
Santa?
Yeah, Santa.
Dave?
Sansa Stark.
Thank you. I finally made it.
You made it to the X-Men. Santa's a mutant. Is that true, Dave?
There are no more mutants.
That's right.
They're all inhuman.
No. So Fox is apparently going to have an X-Men show, which I don't know how well. I mean, the budget on that's got to be pretty high.
Yeah.
You know, special effects.
The show's special abilities. I don't know. I mean, Heroes was able to pull
it. I guess
it
depends on which characters they pick and you know, what powers they give them, too.
Yeah. That could be a good show. I think it could be a good show.
The thing about the X-Men universe is there's a lot of room in there.
There's tons to work with.
Yeah. You know, even if you don't want to have. You know, you can't make it the Wolverine show.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see something where Wolverine's not the center of attention.
Yeah, but I think in order to have legitimacy, they do need to kind of have, you know, some characters that are have kind of names, you know, show
oh, sure.
up,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, eventually. You know, it can't be like the all-new X-Men, you know, Gold Balls, and what's the other...
Gold Balls?
That's
funny. I know. It's just funny.
Hey, it can't be like...
That's how bad it's been.
Yeah.
I'm just,
that's the best they come up with.
That's probably what sold it to Fox.
All right, we got two words for you. Gold Balls.
We're in.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, the other bit of casting news was they cast Jean Grey, Storm, and Cyclops for X-Men Apocalypse, and Jean Grey's the only one that I know. I don't know who the other actors are, so, sorry.
I don't know.
So that's all I got.
I don't know who they are either.
That's it for news?
That's all I got, man.
That's it, Pat!
Do you think David Tennant will play a good Purple Man? Do you think it's odd that he wasn't chosen as a Daredevil villain? That he was chosen first as a Jessica Drew? Or not Jessica
Drew. Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones villain.
Well, who else would a villain be?
That's true. I mean, who are they going to make? He's kind of...
But there are 10 episodes... Or 15 episodes, whatever they are.
Are they only getting one season of that?
Well, for now. But that's, you know, if you, Daredevil has Kingpin already, you know, you could do Bullseye. He has enough of a rogues gallery. You can do something with him, yeah. You know, Luke Cage and Iron Fist. It's, you know, if it goes the Heroes for Hire route, there's all kinds of things they could do with that. But what are you going to do with Jessica Jones?
Yeah, it would be difficult.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, David Tennant though I think was a good choice for them. I never would have thought of it that they would have done that.
Well, it's the guy.
It's good marketing too.
Gomer Pyle all those
David Tennant fangirls.
Gomer Pyle is Kingpin. I mean, they're getting actual actors.
Gomer Pyle.
Yeah, from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, I thought you meant the Andy Griffith Gomer Pyle.
No, I think he's dead.
No, he's still alive.
Is he?
Golly.
Shazam.
Well, see, you can't say his catchphrase.
Yeah, not Marvel. Can't say it.
And still just have to say Captain Marvel.
That's a... Can't use that.
Colin, do you have anything?
I do. Okay. I wanted to follow up on... the Secret Wars thing. Because when we talked about it last week, I watched it Tuesday and I watched it a couple times Wednesday during the day, but it didn't really sink in. So, because.
It's always bad when you got to watch it like four or five times to understand.
Well, because our car was being repaired and my wife had to drop me off nice and early, I had plenty of time. And speaking of, I got that car back, and then our other car was totaled on Saturday. So, having fun with that. Yay. So, I watched it again and I actually took notes. It was like I was back in school. I watched and I paused and I wrote down. So these are, for the most part, actual quotes, other than maybe I summarized. But so I just want to go. I posted on the website, but I figured I would go over it here again, just because I'm trying to wrap my head around it. And I have some questions. But basically, here's what it said. This has been planned since the beginning of Marvel Now. The Marvel Universe and the Ultimate Universe are going to smash together. Imagine two pizzas smashing together. Toppings will get switched. Some will drop off. Basically, I think it means Miles Morales is going to end up in the Marvel Universe, and that's it. yeah, because I don't think anybody really
all
cares.
All these toppings are just going to fly up, but this one, it's going to be like...
Yeah. And this is more than just the Marvel Universe and Ultimate Universe. It's all the universes you can imagine. That's it. This is the Marvel Universe going forward. The final incursion, the smashing of the Marvel Universe and the Ultimate Universe, will be Secret Wars 1. The Battle World is the Detritus, that was Brevert's word, left over after the destruction of the Marvel and Ultimate Universes. It's a melting pot that the new Marvel will be created from. Pieces from destroyed worlds are fused together to create Battle World. This is setting up the bedrock of the new Marvel Universe. New Marvel Universe is Battle World before, during, and after Secret Wars. Once you hit Secret Wars 1, there is no Marvel Universe, no Ultimate Universe. All there is Battle World and a whole lot of empty void. Every single piece of Battle World is a building block of the new Marvel Universe moving forward. None of the stories are Elseworlds or alternate reality. They are not set in the past or the future. All are reality. Expect lots of Secret Wars announcements over the next 2 weeks.
We haven't gotten any.
We haven't gotten any in the last 8 days, and I put in parentheses, I thought this was the announcement to end all announcements, so how can we have more announcements? The previously shown teaser image will be the titles during Secret Wars. So, like, when they were giving us the Age of Ultron. Apocalypse, yeah. And Age of Ultron, and Civil War, yeah. And X-Men 92, these are all the different parts of Secret Wars. They are the heart and center of the Marvel Universe during Secret Wars and beyond. All new Marvel was put on the screen. Alex Ross is doing all the covers. When you see multiple versions of characters, they are not made-up characters. They are from somewhere in the history of Marvel. Issues 0, 1, and 2 are all shipping in May. This is, and then I put quotes, putting an end cap to decades of stories and starting a new era, Axel Alonso. Adding new pieces to the board and removing old, there's a wealth of new series during and after. Great jumping on point for new readers. And then finally, Brevoort saying, the Marvel Universe as you know it is done. The Ultimate Universe as you know it is done. And then the feed cut out. So, my big question is, they're launching new series right now. Today we got Uncanny Avengers number 1. I'm ordering right now the new Hawkeye number 1 that's going to ship in March. We just had Squirrel Girl number 1.
Ant-Man number 1.
Ant-Man number 1. What's going to happen to these books? If everything's changing, all the current stories are ended, and all new Marvel Universe going forward, what's going on with these books? What's telling you as a customer, boy, I'm going to grab this new Hawkeye number 1, it's going to last 3 issues before it's relaunched after Secret War
as something else
or as all new Hawkeye number 1. That's my big concern that they haven't mentioned, and it makes me kind of
nervous.
No, not nervous, but mock them a little bit in the, this has been planned for 3 years. Really? If it was planned for 3 years, why are you launching new number 1s right now?
Yeah.
It tells me maybe the idea has been planned for 3 years, but telling everybody else in the company about it was planned about three weeks ago. Yeah. And somebody said, no, it's been longer than that. So that's my question. Like, I even had somebody not get, like, I had him, he was getting Uncanny Avengers, and I put the new one in his folder, and he put it back. He said, I don't know.
I don't see
the point of this if the other Avengers books are canceled, when we already know we're getting all new, all different Avengers, why should I start on this? Because what are the chances that this Avengers book is going to keep going while the others start fresh? Because it makes it sound like they're saying, after Battle World, this is the Marvel Universe, we're going to have different characters, different people in different places, which is fine, but I think it causes problems for some of the outlying books.
Yeah.
Does Squirrel Girl really matter? Could it exist without tying into this? Sure.
Except for they've already said it doesn't, because this is the Marvel Universe.
Right. So that's where my question is. That's what I'm hoping to get answered. But
Squirrel Girl world.
Well, right. I mean, they already... She's
full of squirrels.
One of the worlds is Howard the Duck world.
It's
you
nuts
know.
There.
But even that, we're getting a new
that's
Howard...
That's going to be duck and crazy.
Well, right. But duck we're getting a new crazy. Howard number 1.
Yeah.
So does that mean issues 4, 5, and 6 that come out during Secret Wars are going to deal with Battle World? Is someone who loved Howard the Duck and wants to read that book going to care? So that's my bigger question. Not so much, I get how Avengers is going to tie into this. I get how X-Men is going to tie into it. But it's all these other ones that they're having great success with, like Ant-Man and Squirrel Girl and Ms. Marvel, that are a part of the Marvel Universe, but are you going to have to relaunch it? Is all of a sudden everybody going to become an Inhuman and not an X-Men?
Yeah. Well, what about characters like Moon Knight and the Punisher that don't have superpowers?
Mm-hmm.
How do they fare in something like this? I mean, you know, where...
They're
because
fall off the pizza.
Now, I haven't read it in a long time, but my memory of Secret Wars is that characters got pulled off of Earth to this other battle world where they then fought and then were returned back to Earth.
Yeah.
So... this is different, where you're getting different reality characters, but you're right. What's going to happen with that character? You know, what's going to happen with the Punisher? I don't know. You know, and part of my thinking is they kind of shot their guns a little early here. This is coming out in May. We're going to order it in March, and they already are talking about it in January. Are they going to answer all their questions by March? Probably not, because they love to keep things secret and mysterious, which is fine. But I was listening to another podcast, and they're talking about, you know, they like this one better than the DC one, because DC doesn't make sense and stuff. And I'm like, well, DC makes sense in the sense that it's a two-month stopgap, and it's doing books, Convergence is doing books for fun. And that's all it's supposed to be. You wanted to see these characters you haven't seen in a while. Here's them in some weird situations. You can get it. You don't have to get it. The books don't matter. Anything that is successful, they might bring back at a later time.
Right.
You know, if something really takes off, they're going to go forward with it.
If everyone gets the Metal Men book, then maybe Metal Men get their own series.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the one complaint I heard from one company is that because it's happening in April and May, that Free Comic Book Day is going to fall right in the middle, and that's going to kind of, you know, there's no book to correspond. My counter to that, I keep meaning to send them an email, is they do have two books that they're coming out with that are still secret, which kind of stinks because we have to put in our order numbers by tomorrow and having no information about them. It's a little troublesome, but we can't always adjust our numbers, but it's still, I'd like to know something. But something tells me that by the time we put in our final numbers, we're going to know more, and it's going to tie into what's coming up after. Marvel is doing Secret Wars Zero.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going to order a boatload of them. But then the following week is Secret Wars 1, which is great as far as follow-up. Hey, you read this? The next part's out next week. How many do I order? If I order 500 zeros, I'm not ordering 500 number ones.
Well, no, because people are going to come in for a free book.
Right, but they're not going to come back.
It's
so it's just one of those.
$5.99 book or a $4.99
We don't
book?
Know yet, yeah. But my guess is $4 or $5.99. They said the second one is the bigger one, which is probably fleshing things out. First one is going to end with the creation of Battle World. And the second one is going to be the details of what Battle World is, which is fine. But it's just, and they're all shipping in May, which is fine. But it does make ordering a little bit tricky, especially when you have to order number two before you even see zero.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. I think DC one is easier to order only in the sense, and DC gave us some good incentives that I'm passing along. If you got the previews today, you saw my little note where I'm doing a package deal for all of Convergence. I'm doing a deal for just if you want to get the main Convergence, not the tie-ins. If you order any of it, you get a discount because DC is giving us a discount as long as we meet certain criteria and returnability on the Convergence book as well. So that makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, more
and the criteria was Superman 34, I want to say, which was the third issue of the John's run. Normally by the third issue, you have a good idea.
Yeah.
And they just picked that. I don't know why they picked it. But for me, it's not ridiculous. I think it's 40. So I need to exceed 40 to get the discount. 40 is an easy number. 200% of Original Sin
number eight. Yeah.
Not necessarily the easiest number. And I'm sure Secret Wars is going to tie somehow to Star Wars. Is just my guess.
Squirrel Girl.
That's fine. Howard the Duck, even, to get that variant tied to 150% of Original Sin 8 to get the evolution of Howard the Duck variant. I'm like, no.
Yeah, no.
Not going to happen. And I really like Howard the Duck.
But you're not going to buy all those copies.
No. I don't think too many people are going to have those variants unless they're like brand new stores. So that's all. I need some more information on Secret Wars just to understand what it is. Like, I had a Matt called me yesterday, different Matt. Not Matt, who used to do the podcast, a different Matt. Wondering about Thor. He's like, now, so Thor is of the nine realms, 10 realms now, but he's a god. And he exists over all dimensions because they go to different worlds and things. How can we have 50 different Thors? Even if there's different realities.
Well, there's different multiverse.
Right, but if there's a different reality, isn't Thor of all realities? That's where he just, because kind of like, he's a god.
Yeah.
So that's where he had a little trouble when there was that image with 50 different Thors on the cover. He had a problem with that. And I'm like, I don't know. And then one thing Adam said that I thought was a good point, because he's playing on his phone, not paying attention.
Yeah.
is that there's no reason right now to jump on any Marvel books. Knowing it's all ending this summer, why would you say, well, you know, I've been interested in Hulk. I might give that a try. But when you know it's ending. Now, and I say the same thing happened when DC, when they were doing their New 52. I don't think anybody was jumping on those books at the end. But it seemed those were coming to more of a logical conclusion.
Yeah.
Where some of the, you know, they weren't launching number ones right before Flashpoint.
No, actually, they canceled all the books.
Yeah, so that's where, that's my only problem as a fan and as a retailer. I don't know what to make of, you know, like in the new previews that just came out today, we have Uncanny Inhuman Zero. Well, I'm assuming Inhumans are going to play a big role in the new Marvel Universe, the way everything, even though they do not tie the Marvel Universe and the Cinematic Universe together, they're completely
separate.
Totally
not.
Completely separate. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I have to assume the Inhumans are going to take a much bigger role, especially in this new Marvel Universe. What's the point of jumping on a Zero, not knowing if it's going to make it to six? You know,
that's
people,
the question. Is this going to be a hard reboot, you know, after,
well, they're never
going to
Secret
War?
No, because they'll never call it that.
Yeah.
They're just going to call it a reconfiguring or something.
I mean,
but I think it basically, like somebody said on when I posted that, they said, so basically they're doing a new 52, but just not saying they are.
But it almost sounds like they're intentionally saying that that's not what this is, you know.
Right.
To the point where, from the outside, it looks like they don't care about the history of their characters.
Well, we just don't know what they're going to change. If they're going to bring in an ultimate version of a character and replace them, if they're going to bring in a Civil War, is Spider-Man all of a sudden going to be Civil War Spider-Man, the angry, bitter, dark Peter Parker?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I see it, I also see it as an easy way to fix some of the corners they've written themselves into, like with the young X-Men, Cyclops, Thor just getting his arm cut off, easily fixed, because that was a really weird part of that book, of that Thor number one. Why would you make such a major character change? That was one of the things.
That worked for Aquaman.
Well, but they undid that, but they undid that in what, Crisis or Infinite Crisis? I think Infinite Crisis.
Yeah.
And they never really explained it. Arsenal had his arm cut off right before in the rise and fall of the Justice League.
Okay.
Right before
Infinite Crisis?
No, right before New 52.
Yeah.
So, you know, things that, you know, how do they undo these things? It seems like an easy out for those.
But then take less things. So here's my fear. Uncle Ben's back. Gwen Stacy's back.
Well, even that, we have two new Spider-Women titles that
Silk
haven't even shipped yet.
And Spider-Gwen.
And are they? How is Spider-Gwen going to work when she's from another world or another multiverse that's now no longer exists? Because what they said is all other dimensions are gone except for Marvel Universe and Ultimate Universe. They're the last inversion or whatever they're calling it, convergence. They're the last collision. So Spider-Gwen's world and all the other worlds that we've found in Spider-Verse are gone.
Right.
So how does Spider-Gwen work? How does she make sense? Unless she somehow smashes in.
And I'd hate to be a naysayer, but it's not like I ever expected that book to get past six issues anyway.
Right, but it's already set up. You know, that's what I need. You know, will books continue through during and after Secret Wars? Because the one thing they're saying, we're going to get an Age of Apocalypse book during Secret Wars, showing what's going on in that world during Secret Wars. We're going to get, you know, so that's cool.
So
okay,
Civil War,
we're going to get, we're going to get some of these. But then afterwards, they're making it sound like they're going to take the best pieces from all these different worlds, and that's our new Marvel Universe.
But even that kind of, so Civil War took place in the 616.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying,
most of the stories did.
Yeah,
that's
then,
where it
and
gets
then,
confusing.
Yeah, now you're saying, no, it was a completely separate universe.
Right.
So then what that should mean is that in the 616 today, Peter Parker and Mary Jane are still married.
Well, that's one of the things. One of the teaser images was them with a girl on Peter's shoulders. So the child that was stolen by Norman Osborn never was. And so maybe that's their story going forward. We don't know. But
so
it's just
yes, we have a history of these characters, and yet you've loved them for 50 years, but it doesn't matter because we're going to smash it all together.
Mm-hmm. But in defense, though, I mean, that is kind of, in a way, It's not totally what DC did, but DC has done things like that before, where they've smashed Earths together to create a brand new Earth to tell the stories of old characters and new characters and characters they can't work with.
But if you call it a separate Earth, separate and distinct from 616, that's fine. But what you're saying is, here's a story that took place in 616, but now it didn't take place in 616. No, it took place somewhere else.
Yeah, but basically, but they have done that with DC, where they've said Green Lantern, the events of Green Lantern have happened in the DC universe, but the Justice League just formed 5 years ago.
Well, yeah, and I mean
that's your thing. So they do have that, which I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I think my main problem right now is that they're bringing out books, like you were saying, that you brought up, that they're bringing out books that don't need to be brought out, because according to what they're telling me by their little announcement,
and
their crazy announcements that they
matter.
Have that are have press conferences and whatever.
That was the other thing I heard is, like, could you find two less effective speakers than these two guys to do
you,
your announcement?
Tom Brevoort was just wanting a pizza.
Yeah, well, I mean, they both...
He's not involved with it anymore. The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, who didn't, you could tell, did not want to be there.
A lot of people
had
are like,
no
what,
interest
Stan
in
Lee's
this.
Here? Is yeah. he behind the bald guy with the mustache?
And Brevoort was having so much fun playing to the six people in the audience that it just was weird watching it not there. It's like, you know, run down to your local Midtown Comics. It's like, really? Do you not have a clue?
Yeah.
There is no world outside of New York.
He did. He said, run down to your... And then he tried to cry. Oh, well, I get... Oh,
or local other such type establishment.
Thing.
Yeah.
Just like, wah, wah.
Yeah.
And then they had like... what did you call him? You kept calling the announcer guy something. I
don't know.
The Billy the Boy Wonder
or
something.
He never introduced himself, and he was just so excited. You could tell he was just so happy to be there. And he's like, I'm streaming live on the internet.
He was like... Most likely, it was like, I've seen all the Marvel movies. I know everything about the characters.
Like the pimply faced kid on
I just think it could have been done a lot better if it had a little pre-recorded informational thing with Hickman saying what the story's going to be, and then the director saying something, you know, and then them explaining things a little bit more.
Yeah. Because after they did it, it's just like, well,
and it was just so funny that it cut off before they could, you know, say what they really, you know, it's like, and what should the readers be getting out of this? It's like, oh, okay.
I guess nothing.
Don't answer that. Don't answer that. So, I mean, I want to be excited about it. I hope it is hugely successful. Because I want my Marvel numbers back up. I want them to be where they used to be.
I want to see where they're going.
But I'm confused as to how we're getting there and what's going to happen.
I think
after.
Basically what they're doing is they're creating, they're taking, as he said, they're making one Earth, one main continuity. They're trying to cancel their Ultimate line once and for all. But
they could have done that.
They couldn't
Galactus.
Do that in Ultimatum or Cataclysm.
I'm not saying that's a good idea that they didn't do it.
Ultimate Galactus.
Right, what I'm saying is that they're wanting to take something. They're trying to create an event that they can find that they can do this with. Which yes, they've had many opportunities. That's why I said this is way late.
Yeah,
they could have done this a long time ago.
Infinity could have worked. Or
well, as I explained, they could have done this in Heroic Age, and they didn't have to do all this nonsense to it. But if they want to add all their Ultimate characters to it, then I guess they have to do an Ultimate crossover event. Which yes, they could have probably did that.
They already announced. I posted it on Facebook. It was just an image.
But then again, Ultimate never really crossed into the 616.
They had a conference call this afternoon.
It was just Galactus.
Oh, okay.
I was following with Bendis and Mark Bagley.
Okay.
Ultimate. I think it just called it Ultimate Universe The End or
something like
that.
Yeah.
That's what I saw, yeah.
And,
which they announced the poster. They showed us one of the solicits.
Yeah.
But they never told us anything more about it. But
I just thought it was interesting that the logo and everything was very early Ultimates.
Yeah, it's the Ultimate, early Ultimate.
It was like early Ultimate X-Men
even
type
the sides,
logo.
They put the bars. Yeah. Ultimates had bars on the side of the cover, and then it had issue number. I always liked it because it makes sense for me. Because as a collector, collecting books, it's nice to have the number up here, the name of the book here, and that's good. It's up in the top corners. But each cover was uniform in the fact that number was always on that side. It always just changed colors, the bars.
Okay.
And then the main center was the cover. I always liked the Ultimate covers. I thought they did a good job on the Ultimate covers.
Yeah, there's the.
But basically, they're wanting to take certain characters and they're wanting to create one. Yeah, that's what it looked like. That's what the Ultimates looked like. I always like different characters from it. Yeah, but I always like Ultimate Parker. Right. I like the Clone Saga of the Ultimate Clone Saga. It was something that like the Doc Ock did, and you know he was worked at Osborn. Osborn was more of a Hulkish like character. Just characters like that. I don't know what they're going to do with Miles. Miles is probably the character they're going to bring into it.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't think of anybody else.
Yeah.
That would they throw into?
But maybe they bring Ultimate Cap over. And that's how we get rid of Cap. You know, we get rid of old
Which
Cap.
Might be, I don't like Ultimate Cap because he's not right. Like, I remember in a book, and it doesn't fit the time because people didn't believe that way. They were, during World War II, they were our allies, and people didn't talk like that. But he mentioned something, he said, he made a joke, or it wasn't even a joke, he was just like, this A doesn't stand for France, or something like that. And I was just like, that seems a very odd thing for Captain America to say, who would be like, yeah, we hate the French, you know, what is he, Captain Racist? Like, I just didn't understand him, like, I was just like, okay, that's not the Captain America I know, he would have been like, yeah, France.
He wouldn't have called them wave-flagging surrender monkeys.
Yeah, it's just like, I didn't get it. I really did. I didn't like a lot of the Ultimate characters. They were too gritty. Thor was an environmentalist, but he didn't. The only thing I did like about him, he didn't know he was a god. He knew he was a god. Nobody else thought he was. And then later down the road, in different books, they go to Asgard or something like that. Black Widow was a bad guy and she dies real quick.
Okay.
In books. Hulk was just nuts. Banner was nuts. Like, Banner wasn't fully with it because he was so obsessed with finding. And everything in the Ultimate Universe goes back to Captain America. So, everybody was just trying to create a super soldier serum. Okay. Norman Osborn was trying to create one through genetics, and that's how Spider-Man comes to be.
Okay.
If you go further back than that, there's a book. I don't remember what it's called, but it deals with. I think it's called Ultimate Secret. And it deals with Nick Fury and Wolverine. And even Wolverine, like the mutants, were a creation of... it wasn't genetic anything. That's what kind of started Ultimatum, because they figured out that the mutants were created by humans because they were trying to create a super soldier serum. And the Hulk was Banner losing his mind because he was obsessed with creating a super soldier serum. So it all goes back to that, which I always thought was creative because it's just like, that kind of fits. And then everything just went to hell at Ultimatum. But not to say that these characters weren't interesting. Like, there were a lot of Ultimate stories that I can lead you to that were really good. One in particular that I really enjoyed was Ultimate X-Men and Ultimate Spider-Man were the best. Like, at the time. They did really well. And Ultimate X-Men has a story. The first book of Ultimate X-Men is really good. And I recommend that to anybody to read. But it helps you understand the events that play out in the book. It's called... The trade is called... And the arc is called Return of the King. And it is, like, one of my favorite, like, X-Men stories. Because I thought they just did it. I don't remember who wrote it. At the time, it wasn't, like, for me, reading comic books, it wasn't big on who wrote it, who drew it. I just liked the story. Mm-hmm. It somewhat isn't now. Like, I don't really care so much. You know, now I care more, like, there's people I know, like, oh, yeah, I really like Scott Snyder's stuff, so I'll go pick up Scott Snyder's writing stuff. But when I was in high school picking up Ultimate Spider-Man, I was just like...
You like the story.
I was just like, yeah, it's a good story. This is fun. And I read it. Fantastic Four. I didn't know Mark Waid wrote that. I really didn't. The only person I knew at the time was Brian Michael Bendis. And Brian Michael Bendis' name was really big 10 years ago. Because of Ultimate Spider-Man, really. He's still on Ultimate Spider-Man. He's been on that book longer than anybody. And they were really the longest creative team the comic book has had for a long time was Brian Michael Bendis and Mark Bagley. And Mark Bagley did a good job art-wise on that book.
Yeah, they broke the Fantastic Four record.
Yeah, they did. And then he finally left the book, I think at issue 100, I think. But what was the record on Fantastic Four?
They went up...
It's like 105?
He went far. And then...
I was thinking 120s or something.
But really, I can't say, like... And, like, I'll talk about Ultimates, and I'll be like, you know, well, that sucks now. And because it does. It's really bad. And it kind of irritated me, because I invested a lot into Ultimates. Like, I invested just picking up the books, and then finally when Ultimatum came out, it was just like they just killed off the cast of every character that I was reading. Every one of them.
It's like first 5 minutes of Transformers, the movie.
Even at the end, they leave you, they're like, where's Spider-Man? Nobody knew where Spider-Man was. So you were supposed to think he died. And then 2 issues into it, he was alive. And then guess what? A year later, they killed him.
They killed him off. Yeah.
They killed him with and brought in Miles Morales. It was just like, what are they doing? Like, that was the question. What are they doing to all these characters? If it's like one of these moments that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, nothing was broke at the time. Ultimates was doing fairly well. It was a fairly popular series. And then that just killed it. Right when Ultimatum, you could just watch it. And he can see it in his numbers, I'm sure, that the whole series just plummeted. And it turned into nothing. Like, why? Because you just killed everybody off. What'd you expect? They thought in this whole thing that they said, after Ultimatum, we'll kill these characters off. We'll make some other characters that other people would be interested in. But guess what? We'll make him Wolverine, but it won't be Wolverine. It'll be Wolverine's son. He's got bone claws. It's different, you know? Just like, and then after a while, you're just like, this is ridiculous. But seriously, though, I mean, check out some of the early Ultimate stuff, because I'm sure that just don't go past Ultimatum, because you're not going to enjoy it. But consider that the end. But
that's the end.
That's the rule of the end.
But even retelling of Spider-Man series, they took Clone Saga, and I thought Clone Saga was really interesting. And the one thing Brian Michael Bendis could do, though, is that he could drag a story longer that Stan Lee could tell in one book. He would drag it into 6-7 books. So that would be a problem. But
you said on the conference call this afternoon that Peter Parker wasn't even in the costume until a year into the book.
Yeah.
12 issues.
They didn't even have the costume for a while. It was basically explaining his story. I forget how he got the costume. He was wearing something makeshift that he made, I think. And then finally, he was doing the wrestling thing for a while. Yeah. And then they finally gave him a costume at the wrestling thing. And he tried to keep that costume going for so long, but then it started getting all sorts of holes through it. I've never seen a Spider-Man get shot so many times. Like, he was shot so many times. And that S.H.I.E.L.D. would help him. And Nick Fury was always after him. Like, he was looking into him because he was just like, you know, we need to talk, you know. One of these days, he said, you're not doing it now, but one of these days, you're mine. You know, once you're 18, like, you're coming to S.H.I.E.L.D. And they never got to that point, which is what led to his death. Like, at the end of it, he was just like, Nick Fury blamed himself because he could have done something quicker, that he wasn't ready to be a hero, like a superhero. And that was kind of the end of that story. But it was good. Even they took Green Goblin and made him into a Hulk-like character. Like, it was still an interesting book, so... Yeah. Still, go pick that stuff up if you're interested. But some of the characters, I think, will transition fairly well. How they're going to do it? I don't know. Like, how are they going to bring in Miles Morales and say he's been there forever? I don't know.
Hey, here's one of the scary things, though. Because on a much, much smaller scale, it sounds a lot like what Spider-Verse is doing.
Well, that's the thing I was talking
about. And Spider-Verse has been so hit and miss.
Yeah.
It's like... Okay, if you can't pull it off with
it's a multiverse.
With, you know, arguably your most recognizable and most accessible character, how can you do it across all these characters, some of which, you know, can't hold their own book?
Well, and not only that, I keep looking at these characters and I'm just like, I'm reading Spider-Verse, I'm like, well, it seems like they're all doing this in vain. Because all their Earths are just going to be destroyed anyways, right?
Yeah, but they don't know that. I know. We know that as readers.
I feel bad for them. I'm sitting there reading. I'm like, why are they doing this? They're all going to die.
Yeah, you're worried about little Benji. Don't worry about little Benji.
They're dead. Benji, yeah, he's dead. He's gone. Doesn't matter. He's the Scion. But, he's going to be gone.
So little Spider, Spider Lady or Steampunk Spider
Woman. Wouldn't that be awful if that's how the book ends? Like, they're like, Spider-Verse, we've won. And they look up in the sky and two Earths crash together. And she's like, oh.
What the hell?
There goes anime Spider-Man-verse and Peter Porker-verse. I thought I spelled ham.
Peter Porker.
What, what, what?
Just moving on.
I suppose. Colin, how many of these are you going to get? Every issue.
What? I'm going to get every one.
All the variants?
Well, I don't know what the variants are yet.
It's Marvel. There's going to be 50 of them. One's going to be a Hot Topic.
It all depends on how many.
One's going to be a loot crate. One's going to be at the Sunoco.
It all depends on how what percentage of Star Wars number one I have to order.
The Sunoco variant. Spider-Man's going to be pumping gas.
Almost as good. We got the final.
The nail place next door is getting a variant.
We got the final welcome home variant today. Stupid. There's nothing.
It was nothing.
It was a wall.
It's a blank one.
It was a wall.
It was a wall.
Yeah. Well played.
Yeah.
You never got a solicit poster. You never got a poster put on your door for Star Wars.
No, I don't think we did.
It's just like, yeah, why advertise it?
Oh, you got that one.
Yeah, we got the little ones.
Yeah, the little one.
You didn't get a big one.
Okay. Moving on. What did you read, Pat?
Justice League.
Nobody wants to read about
Justice
League.
Let's talk Avengers. How are those guys?
Yeah.
I'll let you know, right? 2 years ago, the last time I read one. No, it was the next part of the Amazo virus. And,
that's stupid.
Yeah, it is. You know, Batman is infected. And
Tell me he doesn't get bat powers.
Got bat powers.
It's psychological.
Just being so negative.
Solid here.
Yeah.
You would get comic book store powers.
What exactly would those be? I can price without looking up the price.
Yes.
I instantly know the price of every book.
And the writer and...
First appearances.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That'd
be awesome.
But then afterwards you drop that because it's lethal.
Not that.
It's just like, I'm like the card, I'm like the
trivia.
The Overstreet guide, and then you're just like, yeah.
yeah, so then they have patient zero and they bring him to Lex and turns out.
Good enough? Is patient zero good enough?
I feel like he's somebody. Like he's somebody that we should know.
No, that's, he's some doctor.
That's what I kind of thought too. I mean, I kept thinking Solomon Grundy, but it wasn't him, obviously. And then you come to find out that Lex had already tried this virus out 4 years ago on Superman.
Yeah.
And so he knew Superman was immune.
And he just kept it just in case he needed it.
Yeah.
But then what did he want? What did he need from Superman?
A White Castle cheeseburger?
No. Yes. He wanted his blood.
Yeah, his blood.
And it's like, I don't think so, Lex. Bite me.
We'll give it to Batman.
Batman's infected. He might be dead.
We'll give it to Wonder Woman.
Well, yeah, they all turned into something. And what I immediately thought was like Black Hand zombies.
They remind me. You know who they
remind
me?
Yeah, and that got a little weird. Us.
Yeah.
The virus that he has in that picture reminds me of the Future Zen stuff. Because, you know, with the nanites.
Okay.
And he had his eyes, like on that cover with Tim Drake's eyes were glowing and stuff. I kept thinking, wait, is this the same thing? But no.
That would be a crazy tie-in.
Well, it's not so much I thought it was a tie-in. I kept getting him confused when they kept showing him in, like, the previews online and stuff. Mm-hmm. That you saw that picture. I was like, wait, what is this? Does Batman get infected by the nanites? And then it turned out it was that book.
Yeah. So, but I thought it was a good continuation of that story.
Yeah.
Looking to see how Lex is going to get us out of that. Almost like you needed Waylon Jennings to talk about, you know. Now, can you believe Lex Luthor did that?
Where's Lex Luthor going with those big money bags?
Now here's what is it after David today? Never mind, I haven't seen that for a long time.
Batman and Robin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Damian is trying to flex his muscle, literally. And
an amazing Spider-Man number.
Yeah, that's on there, too.
He'll just go up of his list.
Damn it.
So, you know, Damian wants to try out his powers, and Bruce is not real happy about that. And then Alfred kind of tells Bruce, you know, you need to let him have his space.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I like Damian as a character, but
this isn't gonna last.
No, I mean he can't become Superman. That won't work. But I did like how he, you know, he went to the island and freed freed all his clones and you know
gave
them their
weird
own place.
He gave them the island that they were on. that he was creating.
No, I thought it was a different island.
No, it was the island. Oh, okay. It was the island that at the beginning of what was it? It was the story. Was it the resurrection of Ra's al Ghul? Was that the island that they were on at the time, or one of them? It was where he was created. It was where Damien was born.
Right.
It was that genetics lab.
But it was, you know, he had the weird dream and all that. And, you know, that's kind of what prompted him to, you know, free his
clones.
He's
trying to fix some things that his mother did.
Yeah. Although I thought that was, you know, he jumped awake and then went through the floor.
Yeah, and Alfred is just reading his book.
He's
having trouble sleeping. What's your face? I forget his name.
Damien?
Master Damien. I just slipped me for a second.
So that was like I said, I like Damien as a character.
I like the cover.
Yeah, that was
Colin has it right there. It, with him holding open the shirt.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very Superman pose, and that's, you know, I don't want Damien to become Superman. He needs to, you know, one of the things that I've always liked about Batman is the fact that he doesn't have superpowers.
Yeah,
you know, he has to rely on his skill and on his mind. And it's kind of a cheat if Robin is Superman.
Yeah. I don't think that'll last. I think that'll wear off pretty quick. Like, I think that's how it's going to happen. It's just going to wear off.
That could be awkward. You know, he's like lifting
up
a Jeep.
He's flying up there.
He's lifting up a Jeep and all of a sudden, oh no, it drops on him.
That's why kids shouldn't lift Jeeps. Watch your kids better. Don't be Batman.
Fair enough.
Batman Eternal.
Yeah, it was good. You know, it didn't tell us who's up to what yet, but it ended the whole Mad Hatter thing and the nanite thing.
Yeah.
Which seemed like such a big thing at the beginning, and a huge delay, and then a quick resolution right at the end.
It was almost like they forgot about it, and someone said, hey, you need to wrap
the
this
up. The Mad Hatter.
We need to wrap this up.
Who isn't busy in this book? It's him. He's been in a few books, though. He's in Detective right now.
Okay.
Mad Hatter.
The stuff with Spoiler's mother.
Yeah.
That was a little weird.
She's, she's bad anyways.
Right. That's what I mean.
She was trying to help her, but then she sent out the bounty on her, and then, what was it? And then finally Catwoman
showed up, yeah.
Which I keep questioning if maybe Catwoman's behind everything, but it just seems too odd if she would be behind everything.
The one that I kind of see, and this is really out there, would be her father.
Yeah, that he's the one behind it trying to set everything up just from prison?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. That's the whole thing, because I can't think of, we've used up every other villain besides, Two-Face? Which they kind of screwed up.
But, yeah, but this isn't a Two-Face kind of plan.
No, it's not a Two-Face plan, because Two-Face, everything, well, he'd figure that out. Everything would be twos.
Yeah, it's not a Joker plan.
No.
It's not a Riddler plan.
Which was really good, though.
I heard it was good. Don't
what was?
Spoil it.
Batman. Yeah.
You didn't like it.
I did like it.
I'm
confused, and I want to know more, but it was good.
Hush, I thought, would have been a good...
I thought it would be
big bad in it.
The other one I can't think of would be Lincoln March.
Okay.
So, I mean, we haven't seen him for a while. After
Court of Owls,
he just disappears.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other possibility. What if it's the Court of Owls doing the whole thing? Mm-hmm. This is the way they get their revenge.
Yeah.
It's not time to sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
next, Amazing Spider-Man.
I don't remember what happened. Oh, I read it last week while we were here. I forgot.
See how hard it is to remember something a week later?
I forgot all about it.
That's why we write them down.
Yeah. No, that one I forgot about completely. It was good. It still has its issues to it that you got to read everything in order to enjoy the whole story, which they shouldn't make it like that.
I mean, I'm not. I'm not reading... Was it the Scarlet Spiders and Spider-Man team-up?
Yeah, Spider-Man 2099 had a good resolution.
That I'm reading, but I've been reading that since the beginning anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought it was okay.
People keep mentioning online, I was reading, that they keep killing people and then bringing them back to life without knowing. And then they're somewhere in the book, and then they kill them again. Like, there, I guess there's been a few characters that have already died that should have been dead.
Yeah. That keep coming back?
That keep showing up again. Of Spider-Man, who aren't supposed to be cloning.
Well, you know, we're always taught anyone worth shooting is worth shooting twice. Apparently anyone worth killing is worth killing twice in Spider-Man.
That's it.
So, you know, Moreland doesn't double tap, and that's the problem.
That's why.
Yeah. So, they keep coming back.
They still haven't explained the whole guy who, the banned inheritor, who's been banished from their family, who wears a scuba mask and stabs people. I guess he's not allowed to take a scuba mask.
Well, they haven't explained a lot about them at all. And I thought he was such a big
part of the beginning of introducing this, and then he just fell off the face of the planet. That's my biggest problem with this story. It's just like, yeah, maybe this guy has something to do with it. Oh, but if you want to know, you got to read Spider-Man team-up or Spider-Woman.
Well, that's what I would have thought, that when Spider-Woman was with Master Weaver, that he would have explained
something.
The whole deal to him.
He didn't explain much.
No, and then she sent the scrolls that she had, she gave, you know, she teleported them. So she doesn't know what they said.
When you say scrolls in Marvel Universe, I'm just like, wait, the scrolls? She teleported scrolls?
Maybe. We don't know.
They might be scrolls. It's a scroll pod.
It's a scroll scroll.
It's a scroll scroll. You wouldn't know, Colin. You're a Marvel hater.
I'm just confused. Apparently so.
Scrolls.
Scroll scrolls.
I got it.
Okay.
Scrolls.
Moon Knight. No? It's a continuation of... Mark Spector is obviously crazy, and he keeps seeing Khonshu, but it's the bird face version of Khonshu.
Yeah.
And he's basically having an argument with him that the woman that was his therapist is now basically Khonshu's avatar because she wants to kill this general guy. Who was like a warlord in Africa.
Why are avatars such a big thing in comics all of a sudden?
I don't know. So, it turns out he's been... Where we thought he was in like a mental hospital. And then he escapes. And you find out he wasn't in a mental hospital. He was in a plane. And he's falling from the plane. In scrubs like he was in a mental hospital... But it was a plane. So, see what happens there.
Mental patients on a plane.
Well, and he doesn't have a parachute, so...
Yeah,
this is Moon Knight. He doesn't have powers. Well, you know, what's...
he'll be fine.
Has he ever jumped out of a plane before? Maybe he doesn't know if he can fly or not. But he's just like, I can fly. God.
He just waves his hand.
He's like, oh, it does work. Well, I would have never known unless I tried.
I am sick of these blanking.
That's why you try, kid.
Blanking plane.
Yeah.
That's why kids should try.
Yep. Moon Knight's on a plane. Samuel Jackson's next movie.
Someone's got to get this damn Moon Knight off my plane.
Wah, wah,
wah. And finally, Future's End.
Nothing really huge.
No, I mean it's slowed down a little bit towards the end. There was more of the 50 Sue stuff. And then, you know, Terry and Tim Drake get attacked by the Joker.
Yeah.
The Joker Batman. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Joker Bat.
Joe Bat.
Yeah. Sister, my brother. Sorry.
Bat Joe.
Yeah. And then the other part is the new Firestorm helps. Was it Dr. Polaris is his name?
Yeah. He's just like, we're going to help you this time.
You were right. Yeah, we agree with you. They should have given you the Watchtower technology.
Well, she does.
Yeah. But she's just using him to. Separate herself from Jason.
Yeah.
Which then there really is no Firestorm because if that happens because Ronnie Raymond's dead.
But this is a new Polaris because he didn't have this name before.
No, it was
this character.
No, it was Dr. Yamaguchi or something like that.
It might have been. Yeah. I don't. It just sounds like you're really grabbing at any.
No, I really
random
think that was his name.
But it, I think it was. I think it was Yamaguchi. He, yeah, but that's not the. But he isn't the original Polaris. I think there's been a few Polarises, but they don't use them too much. I remember he was part of Crisis. He was under Crisis. But yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you know, at the at the end of Forever Evil, the Animonitor came back.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with, like,
nothing
they just
yet.
Yeah, they just kind of dropped that.
Well, he hasn't showed up in their Earth. Like, he's still somewhere.
No, he was on their Earth. That's...
He was on the regular Earth?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was, like, not there yet. Like, he was still destroying the other planet.
No, it seemed like he showed up and he was on their Earth.
He's in hiding. Airspace.
I don't think he would do that.
What was his name? He had a name besides Anti-Monitor, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of somebody else, though. I was thinking of somebody else that reminded me of Anti-Monitor.
Bill Monitor.
Bill Monitor, yeah, that's him.
Bill Monitor.
Well, I'll talk about one, because we talked about the rest of them. I think I have it written down. The book that I've really been enjoying lately is Batman Superman. Did you read that?
No.
Did you read it?
No.
You haven't read it. Basically,
I read the first arc. That's as much as I read it.
Yeah, that's what
I talked
read.
About the first issue. This has been my favorite arc of the whole book. I think they're doing it. It's Greg Pak, I think, is writing this book still. Basically, the story goes... I think I've talked about the first issue already, but this third issue really summed a lot up. That it takes... It begin the first story begins that a random people are... Well, Superman is trying to save whales, I remember. And they're trying to lead them back. I guess they were beached, and he's trying to take them with Supergirl. And Steel, I believe, was there. And they're taking them back, and as they're putting them in, something shoots the whale. And just there's blood all over the ocean, basically, one of them. And it shoots Steel, Crypto, and I think Supergirl, I believe, is there as well. And it also takes out this random guy who's dressing up as Superman at a children's hospital and kills him. And Superman's trying to figure out who this is. Well, this character is basically like talking to him just out of the sky, basically. He's just anywhere in his head, but other people can hear him, though. Like, Batman can still hear him. And Batman tells him, basically, that your character is whoever's after you is basically trying to be your Joker. Like he's somebody who's just trying to create chaos more than anything.
He's trying to out crazy you.
Yeah. So he's kind of like, he's messing with you is what he's doing. So there's another hit involved that they're going to take out three other people close to him. So he hides all these people, but he takes out three random people. One is Lex Luthor, which he didn't have protection on. He shoots Lex Luthor. The other one was a pop singer, and I forget what the last one was. I don't remember.
Jimmy Olsen's dentist.
Yeah. No, but what's interesting is that the pop singer, which, Superman history, if you've read, fairly recent stuff, she shows up all over the place. There's this girl who was trying to commit suicide in Superman that he actually he talks her down.
I remember that.
Okay.
She became a pop singer. And that's what she did with her life to not, and he kills her and shoots her. And that's who you remember, that's who it was that character. She showed up twice. I think one was maybe All-Star Superman. Maybe, I could be wrong. I don't remember what exactly book it was. But, yeah, so he's trying to still figure out who this is and random people that he's just trying to take out. And in this last issue... Batman and Lois set up a trap. They're trying to figure out where it's coming from and find out more. So Batman tries to use Lois as bait, saying that Superman will catch it. You know, he'll know it's happening. So as he's waiting there, trying to stop him, he sees the bullet. He sees it going up, and it goes over Lois and hits Batman right in the chest and shoots Batman. And it actually does cause damage. And
These like regular bullets or?
Well, that's where we're getting at. What are these bullets? So, in the issue, at the end of the bullet, at the end of the thing, they remove what's there, and basically the thing, and it's actually the character. It's a citizen of Kandor.
Okay.
That is actually the bullet. And,
okay.
Yeah, so the citizens of Kandor have disappeared since the, I believe it was the stuff dealing with Brainiac and the Doom storyline.
Uh-huh.
The whole city disappeared out of the Fortress of Solitude.
Okay.
And for some reason, certain citizens of Kandor are blaming Superman. And they basically waged war against Superman, and they're using their own citizens
as bullets
to be untraceable. I don't know, the whole idea is just kind of different, but I'm kind of curious because they've never done anything like that before with Superman. They've never used like citizens of Kandor.
That sounds like cool.
As bullets? Yeah. As bullets. Really? Yeah. They've never done that before?
I don't think. I've never seen it. They could have. I mean, Superman's been around forever.
Is it Mr. Mixelplixit?
Yeah. That's who's doing it.
Mixelpidolic.
Yeah, whatever.
Come on.
But what's funny
I'm
is
not that I can pronounce my
in order
name
to do like an autopsy of this Kandor citizen,
Puts. No,
he
no,
goes to what's that shade, that little silver ball that's their base.
Oh,
what do they call it?
Yeah,
the Time House or something like that.
I don't remember. I don't think it's that. I don't know, but they take him there, and then they're able to do an autopsy.
It's the one that shrinks down all the way, yeah.
And that's why they went to it, so they were able to take the body there to look at it and see who it is. So I don't understand why he can't bring Kandor back to life if they can do that, but whatever. But no, it has been really good. Like, I think that's been my favorite of the Batman-Superman stories. I remember they had one that was a landscape view, Batman-Superman, that it was all about... what was it? What's his name? Toy Man or something? It's the kid, the little Asian kid who makes, like, technology. He was in one of the movies that he creates, like, a mecha for Superman. You remember that? For Superman and Batman? You remember Public Enemies?
I just flashed to the toy in Superman 3 and tried to merge those together, and I'm like, no. What?
I read that. That was the... Jeff Loeb series.
Do you remember who was in that? It was it might have been the same in the movie, but it was this little Asian boy who made like technology and all these things. I feel like I feel like it's Toy Man. I feel like that's what his name is.
I think they call him Toy Man. I think so.
I think that's what the one that they called him. It's not. There's always a different Toy Man, so I can never be sure of what they're doing. Because they had one even in the Superman cartoon, if you remember. He was wore like a big toy, like doll uniform or something.
Yeah, and the Challenge of the Super Friends.
Yeah.
He wanted more toys, and Solomon Grundy wanted pants.
I want more toys. Solomon Grundy want pants, too. Yeah. Colin, you need to get out more.
Yeah. Just go on YouTube and look up Solomon Grundy want pants, too.
Yeah. And you'll be like, ah.
Sure. Yeah, what else you read, Adam?
Everything that Pat was just talking
about.
So
Dave, what do you got?
Last week's Fantastic Four.
Was it fantastic?
It was moderately fantastic.
You know what was really weird about that?
But
was
moderately Fantastic Four.
Well, they renumbered them, right? They went back to the original number.
I think this was the first with the original numbering.
It was, but it was part two of the story. Like, why didn't they start the renumber at the beginning of an arc?
I don't know.
Marvel.
You're asking too much of Dave, Pat.
No, I'm not asking Santa.
He only knows so much. He knows
Santa,
naughty or
Marvel
nice,
Marvel people
that's it.
Go on the naughty list.
In this issue, Dr. Doom creates a virus and infects the Baxter Building and Herbie.
Herbie?
That's the plot of the new movie.
And Herbie.
That's the plot of the new movie.
I was
going
to say.
No.
He's not a hacker.
They should have Herbie in the movie. I'd go
Herbie
see that.
Herbie should be in the movie. He should have been in the preview. Maybe people would be like, it's Herbie, and then people would have won.
Yep.
Well,
except for Colin, he ruined it.
Reed is still, Mr. Fantastic is still being held prisoner by this John Eden character, who's the quiet man, and he can change his appearance, and he hates Reed because Sue fell in love with him during their college years and not him, not this John Eden, if that's, you don't even know his real name. He doesn't even, like, know who he is because he's, like, changed appearances so much in his life. So the rest of the group, they've regrouped at the Baxter Building, which is shut down by S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And so they're making plans to go get Reed. And Doc Green's there, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
He shows up there. He just showed up there in his own book a couple weeks ago. And Captain America, Falcon, and Jim Hammond, some other people show up. Jim Hammond has the Future Foundation, but somehow he lost them, and now the Wizard has the Future Foundation kids.
Hey, technically one of those kids is his, so. It is him, actually.
Yeah, Bentley.
Yeah, Bentley.
He's standing up there next to the Wizard while they're torturing Franklin and stuff, and he puts a stop to it. Bentley turns into a good guy.
It's about time. Yeah, Bentley was kind of like the Damien of Fantastic Four. He kind of knew it was going to happen.
So at the end, John Eden has unleashed these monsters from the Negative Zone into Earth. I think the last scene is them descending upon the Eiffel Tower in Paris, speaking of France. As it were, so they go to the only, person who can help them.
Captain France?
Doom.
Rick Sheridan.
Oh.
Who?
Sleepwalker.
Oh.
He says, "You don't need me, Rick Sheridan. You need Sleepwalker."
Why would they bring? I don't know. They should have brought Doom. Like, we need. No, you know what? They go to Doom all the time.
But, you know, if it's the last arc and this is truly
the end.
We're going
to go out with a bang and you Sleepwalker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could have brought in a Nihilist or something. No.
He's just minding his own business at home until they all, Jim Hammond and the Fantastic Four, knock on his door. He's eating his popcorn, watching Netflix or something.
I see that happen.
So it's been good. It's been good. I've enjoyed the run. Wish the movie would be more like this a little bit, but apparently that's not going to happen. Star Trek, Planet of the Apes, number 2.
How many ape puns do they
ever
have in it?
Best. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of. It's mostly fan service. It seems to me, but. Because in this issue, Kirk and the crew, they run into Colonel Taylor. And
were there any damn dirty apes?
And
apparently we didn't blow it all up.
And Cornelius and Zero, you know, hanging out right by the Statue of Liberty. What remains of the Statue of Liberty.
He's like, I saw this too. He's just like, look what I found here. Yeah. Oh, man. You know what I don't understand about the series? I was talking about it with somebody who came in here. Isn't Star Trek take place? They both take place in the future.
Yes.
So, like, well, which found future
there's a wormhole. There's the,
also, it's another dimension.
Yeah, it's like another dimension that the Klingons found.
Okay.
So they're the
future.
This is one where Abraham Lincoln's from.
This is like
that's
yeah.
That works into the
oh, is that it, Pat?
That works into the story here.
Now it makes sense.
Taylor's like, you need to help me defeat these apes. You got this ship and ray guns and all this stuff. You can do it. So, of course,
it violates the Prime Directive.
Kirk says it violates the Prime Directive. But then
does
they
it
have
matter
then they have
another dimension.
Then that's exactly what they're arguing. He argues with Spock about whether the Prime Directive applies to alternate realities, alternate dimensions.
Yeah.
They decided that it does.
Why? What was their explanation of this?
Because otherwise there wouldn't need to be a number 3. They would have wiped out the apes, you know, midway through.
Well, they could have. It wouldn't even make any difference. It doesn't. What is it? What do they care if you mess with their dimension?
Taylor's telling them, this isn't an alternate dimension. This is your Earth. This is where you people are from. You know, in a metaphor.
Who said this?
Taylor, in a metaphorical sort of way. It's Thor.
Yeah, it shouldn't make any difference.
He's not happy at all with their
decision. I'm not happy with it either, Dave. Because I understand if they go to a planet and their dimension and their world, and they go to another planet and they change how that planet functions, okay? Because that can change.
Yeah.
That's not their right to do so. But to go to another dimension completely and on their planet of all things, on Earth, well, not Spock's planet, but going to that, it shouldn't make any difference. Who cares? Like, it's not going to affect anything in your universe at all. It seems like they won't.
No, but it's going to totally screw over that one.
Their world's already screwed up. They let apes take over.
Maybe that was the whole thing.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we shouldn't disrupt the apes. So they should just go home and not help them.
Yeah.
That's a short story. Find, just fly off.
Well, they got to find out the Klingons are giving the apes weapons.
Well, it's already the Prime Directive has already been violated because, I mean, I know the Klingons aren't going to affect the Prime Directive.
They don't care about the Prime.
Because they don't care about the Prime Directive.
It's the Primate Directive.
But.
No.
That's the subtitle for the series.
But they don't. It's already been. Stuff's already been messed with. So who cares? It was a Spock's idea. Spock's like, it's illogical to mess with another dimension.
No, Kirk, he
breaks the Prime Directive all the time.
I know.
That's kind of like his middle name.
Yeah, breaking the Prime Directive.
You would think he'd break it. These are the
James breaking the Prime Directive Kirk.
These are the two great alpha males, Captain Kirk and
Tiberius.
And Taylor. I think they would team up, but no. So Taylor, he's not happy with this decision at all. So at the end, he kind of as they're walking. I think he puts Chekhov in a chokehold and steals his communicator and runs away from the group.
That's all they usually do.
Bad things always happen to Chekhov.
Yeah, I know, right? And they should just leave him up
in
there.
Red shirt guys.
Well,
and Chekhov, I mean, Planet of the Apes was back in the 60s, so the Russians were the bad guys then, you know, from Taylor's point of view.
Well, no. Well, yeah, from him, because he was sent to the future. That's
right. For his point of view, you got to get rid of Chekhov.
What is with this? Forget this ape situation right now. That is a communist.
So did Kirk hook up with any ape chicks?
Oh, yeah. That's what everybody's
He hasn't hooked
on
up with any apes yet. No, there's still two or three more issues to go, but so I'm sure it's coming.
So while they're talking about all this, the Klingons have probably done their business already and left, right? The Klingons are like, this is a... And what kind of ape technology are they getting from the apes? Like, did you say they're making
no,
a train?
They just,
an
they,
automatic
they,
banana
Klingon,
launcher.
I don't know. The Klingons are giving them weapons, but they haven't...
They'll be an
I don't
apist.
Know what...
I don't...
They're just there to monkey around with time.
Monkey around... Pat, we're voting you leader of the podcast. Colin, you're going to have to leave. Pat tells better jokes.
That's just bananas.
That's it, right? Because there's not that much monkey puns that you can come up with.
There's probably something about fling and poo I could throw in there, but, you know.
That's what you want as the new leader of the podcast. Fling and poo.
All in favor?
Hey, at least I'm trying out new material.
All opposed? Then Colin's like, yeah. Where are your jokes about monkeys, Colin? Jeez. A podcast does this without monkey talk.
Mm-hmm.
The theme song for Monkey Talk.
That's right. That's it.
Okay, we'll move on to other animals because I read The Autumn Lands.
Oh yeah,
Tooth and Claw.
That was on my list. Yeah,
number 3. Did you read that?
Mm-hmm. I think that one picked it up. I think 2 was a little bit of a drag. But was 2 when they introduced the champion?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we know who the champion is and what the champion is.
Billy.
We get a little bit of information in this. He's some kind of military guy.
Yeah, that he's some sort of future, or not future, past.
Seems like it's in the past.
War,
yeah.
It's a poor past war, but for some reason, this is what created the world that they're on now, that is now inhabited by animals, and that's it.
Yeah.
So man is gone, but now the champion is man. though.
Yeah, so which is...
A very, very naked man in the number two. Which
and
was,
he likes
I turned the page, I was like, oh my God. Well, you're reading this book, and it's just like, there's all these animals, and they're dressed in clothes, and then the man shows up, and he's just naked.
And he I'm is swearing like, up a storm.
Yeah, he's
also.
Not happy. A lot of his ruin talk,
well,
whatever that was.
You know, all the which, animals have clothes, and
yeah,
he's just
I don't blame him. Like,
my word. It's, like, it's almost like Winnie the Pooh. Like, they're in 100 Acre Woods or
yeah,
something.
It's like,
and that's
don't
like,
bother.
That's like the, an adult Christopher Robin
yeah.
shows up, and he's just like,
it's like
who's, been the, who's been the who's been to Vietnam or something? That's what it seems like, right?
Yeah.
That's how I'm
Tigger
I'm,
man, I've seen some stuff,
all,
man.
That's some stuff.
That's all I'm gonna think
oh,
of
bother.
Now.
Christopher Robin, I've seen some stuff.
So we get a new character, this Goodfoot.
Yeah.
Comes
seemed
on.
Seemed fishy to begin with.
Seemed fishy to begin with, and then you find out. She's really fishy.
She's a fish?
No, I'm just going to say, she wasn't really a fish.
She wasn't really a fish. She's
it's a metaphor.
That's the metaphor, yeah.
It goes right over Colin's head. You're not going to go with that joke?
I can jump for that.
Yeah. It's impossible. Nothing goes over my head. Go on.
And what kind of animal is she?
She's a wolf.
She's a wolf, okay, there you go.
She's a fishy wolf?
Yes.
She's fishy.
Did you find out she's
fishy bear.
On the last page, she is...
A traitor.
A traitor.
We think.
Planning.
She's either working both sides, she's working
yeah.
with
the bison.
With the bison, yeah. But the bison come in the second issue, I believe, and that's when they, like,
yeah.
massacred, like, part of their group.
Yeah, yeah.
And the wizards aren't very good at anything
yeah.
besides talking. And, like, I like, and in the comic, like, the cat wizard is just like, I'm going to send a magical, like, message, and she's swinging her hands around and all that,
yeah.
making this pink orb. She throws it in the air, and they get struck with an arrow right in her neck, and I'm just like, wow, that's it. Goodbye, cat wizard. They're just not very good at what they're doing. And the owl, which he has a name. I just know about what animal they are.
Who?
It starts with G, I believe.
Sand.
The owl. The owl.
Sandhorst. Sandhorst.
Sandhorst.
But it's a beautiful book to look at.
It is. It's
the
really good
this,
art.
I don't know how the guy's keeping it up.
Now, you said that's fallen off a little bit, right? Because people
aren't... I mean, a lot of people tried the first one, but the
last
didn't come back.
It's one of these books that... I'm going to say it's a little harder for... I wouldn't recommend it to kids at all now. Before, you probably could have.
Shot
before,
in the neck? Yeah.
Before the naked... the naked,
naked fish?
Man and the,
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's the naked fish. It's fishy. Fish aren't naked.
Confused. I'm so confused.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Fish can't be naked.
And then there's a whole story, like, they keep doing those, I forget who did those books, like, Tarzan and stuff like that, but they have, like, a spread, full spread, it's like, you have to read it, it's mm-hmm. not, like, comic form, it's book
yeah,
form.
Yeah,
and it's, like, more of a pulp magazine. And they have, like, a story of the champion on one of them, and then it keeps adding on, every book seems to have one. But, like, second issue wasn't as good, I didn't think. It had a lot of confusing things to it. But the end of the second was okay. The third one, though, was really good, I thought.
Yeah, yeah, I'm very intrigued to see where it's going and what this champion's all about.
Yeah.
And if he can do anything.
Yeah. If he can save this is a beastie world.
If he got his work cut out.
He doesn't even want to be there. He wasn't even supposed to be there, so that.
Yeah, I just want to mention lastly, last week's Dark Horse Presents, there's an 8-page story, it's kind of like a teaser for a new series that's coming out in March called The Pastaways. And it's a time travel thing, and these guys, this team travels thousands, it's either thousands or millions a year into the past, to the year 2015.
What?
Yes. I just blew your mind, right?
That's like forever. Like, we're never going to get there.
It's by Matt Kent, and the art was by Scott Collins. So, whatever they, at the end of the story, this girl driving this Jeep, she runs over the thing that makes I guess their flux capacitor that makes time travel possible, so they can't get back.
2015 flux capacitor? Yeah. This is all Back to the Future.
Yeah. So it hooked me, so I'll be getting that in March from Dark Horse. That's it.
You got books?
No.
Well, you got Wolverine 3. You liked it.
It was awesome.
He had a goatee in it this time.
He did not.
I don't know what that says. The Valiant.
That was more for Josh, but since he's not here.
Oh, where'd Josh go? Josh?
Yeah, well, Josh is my Valiant guy, so I read Ivar and the Valiant, but we'll talk about what Josh is here. That's really about the only thing I had. Wicked and Divine is still good. Interesting, because you really don't know where it's going, what it's all about. It's about these people who become gods, but you don't know what their deal is, and this one girl who's kind of following with them. It's good. First trade's $9.99. I really suggest you give it a shot.
Was there anything that you read today that came out that you want to sell that you don't want to give away? At least tell us something, Colin. Jeez.
I'm tired.
What about
Batman? Oh, you already talked about that. Okay. Batman was good. Uncanny Avengers wasn't bad. I just don't know where it's going. Just like I said before, with all the time stuff. Now, one I do want to talk about: The Dying and the Dead is a new Hickman book, and it's like 400 pages long. okay, it's probably not that, but
that
is
a thick book.
There's a lot. I mean, that's a thick comic.
How much was it?
$4.50.
That's not bad.
But it's got to be 80 pages. Really nice art, good clean art. Basically a story of kind of these like two ancient societies that are dueling, and this one guy that kind of the one side recruits to get something back from the other side because they can't do it directly. But it was quite good. I mean, there's no way to summarize that, you know, without giving things
away.
It's also
a Hickman book, so
but this first one definitely worth the money. You know, if you look at that, this is 50 cents more than a Marvel book. That's a good deal.
Yeah. They described it as Indiana Jones with the senior citizens.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, that's your main character.
We're not talking about that news,
and basically, his wife is dying of cancer, and they give him the chance to save her,
okay,
but he has to do this mission. And he's kind of like, what the hell?
But I'm okay with him.
Indiana Jones, they were talking about the
rumor.
That's during Pat's news. It's passed. The time has passed.
That's a rumor. That's not news.
Pat's news. Right. Breaking Pat news.
No, I just saw they just cast an African-American gentleman for Jimmy Olsen in the Supergirl TV show. Ah, internet, explode!
But
we can't have a black Johnny Storm and a black Jimmy Olsen. They're getting all the good roles.
And a black Irish wife.
They're getting all the good roles.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
I hope you are.
Internet, explode!
That you're right. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
How people are on that.
Is. Okay, next week. No,
you can steal his theme song.
Sorry, we have Ant-Man number 2, and we got Avengers Time Runs Out.
Why would they get Ant-Man number 2? Give me a reason.
Number one was fun, but I don't know where it didn't really set up number 2. That's my only thought on it. Other than that, he moved down with them to Florida,
to Miami, yeah,
and they've got to figure out what he's doing.
But where does this get me into Battle World?
I don't know. I don't know. Here's a book that is more fitting for you. I believe it's from Boom, and it's called Cluster.
Sounds like Adam, all right.
And then
I got the
second edition of the Harley Quinn bus that I sold out of very quickly. That's coming in next week.
Harley Quinn's bus.
Detective 39.
There's a shock at Harley Quinn's bus sold well.
Edge of Spider-Verse 2, the fourth printing. That's the first appearance of Spider-Gwen. Going to be very, very important in Battle World.
Whoa.
I don't know. Grim Fairy Tales, White Queen. It was a number one, that's all. Once Upon a Hard Time. I know Adam's giddy about this one, but Guardians of the Galaxy and X-Men Black Vortex Alpha.
How are the ducks in it?
Really? Hellboy and the BPRD number 3. That one's been very popular. That one's done very well. Imperium is a new Valiant book. I honestly don't know anything about it, but Valiant. I really liked Ivar Timewalker, and I really liked The Valiant number 2. So we'll talk about it next week with Josh. King Jungle Jim. The first two King Syndicate books came out this week, which was Flash Gordon and Phantom. So next week we're getting Jungle Jim. Lady Death Apocalypse. I know you guys are all big Lady Death fans. Gosh, why do I have so many of those coming? Holy cow. Legendary Vampirella, which is a spinoff of the Legendary books. I think they're doing a bunch of those. I've been getting a lot of questions about this one. Nameless, that's the Grant Morrison, Chris Burnham book that's shipping next week. Operation Sin number 2, if you're liking Peggy Carter, agent of something, S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's not really S.H.I.E.L.D. yet.
Agent of the SSR.
This is more of her. Postal is coming from Image. Sounds fun and happy about mailmen. Rat God, that's a Dark Horse one. I think that's Corbin is doing that one. Pat, right up your alley, Return of the Living Deadpool number 1.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Oh, come on. Saga number 25, Saga's back after their brief hiatus. But I know next one is all you. Who is the man?
Shut your mouth.
Number 3 is coming out. Spawn 250. Yeah. They said it wouldn't happen, but it's here. With 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 covers. 7 covers, sorry. Forgot the black and white.
That's too many covers.
Star Wars number 2. Stray Bullets, Sunshine and Roses number 1, which is supposedly a good jumping on point. Superman 38, continuing, or maybe finishing up that storyline. Superman Earth 1, Volume 3. The first two of those have been quite good, so I'm excited about that one. Throne of Atlantis action figures are coming with Aquaman, Black Manta, Mira, and Ocean Master.
Damn, next week's going to be an expensive week.
Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 2. Mm. Oh, yeah. And the Uncanny Avengers Omnibus. If you couldn't get enough.
Keeps your nuts.
And Witches number 4, nuts. Continuing that storyline, which has been wacko. So, that's next week. Solid week. And
talk about your Convergence deal.
Oh, I guess I could. Well, yeah, I kind of did. I put it in the previews, but I have more on the counter. But basically, if you pre-order any of the Convergence issues, like you just want this one two-parter, or you know, you look through the book and you see something that's neat. Oh, I like this Shazam, or I like this. I'll give you 10% off. The reason, you know, the altruism is if I hit my goals, which is, what did I say, Superman 40. 34, which is 40 copies, I get 10% off. So I'm just literally, if you pre-order, I'm going to pass that on to you. Pre-order all 9 issues of Convergence, I do 15% off. Because if I hit my goal on that, which I will, which is really big, it's a Batman goal. But everything is returnable, and on the first one I get 15% off, and the rest I get 10% off.
Okay.
So again, I'm passing that on to you. And then the last one is if you pre-order what I called the whole shebang, which somebody looked at me and said, what's a shebang? I'm like...
Come on!
Okay. I'll give you 20% off.
That's a Ricky Martin song.
For the whole thing. So, you know, I'm passing along the 10% they're giving, but I'm also kicking in my own 10%. And basically what it comes down to, it's $35.91 a week. And that gets you all 40 books, 42 parters plus the 9 issues of Convergence. Now the $35.91 does not include Zero because that ships all by itself in one
but
week.
That's free,
so I actually, it's not free. No, it's $5.
I thought that was the free comic.
No,
book
the, no, there's nothing with this. It's free comic book day. We don't know what DC
that's
ones
what
are.
Okay. No, that's Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Features.
So that doesn't include that first $5 book, but because it didn't really fit in with the weeks either. So I added up everything else and divided it by 8.
Yeah.
So
that's,
and took
that's
off 20%.
March 31st?
No, it's April 1st is zero, and then the next 4 weeks are the first 4 weeks of Convergence, and the following, and then the four
so is
weeks
that the
in
only
May.
DC book that comes out.
That is
week?
The only DC book, and that was one thing Adam pointed out when I said is when I showed it to him was you don't have any other DC books to buy. There's no Batman. There's no Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
There's no Justice Leagues.
So
these are all the DC books. So you know, take. Keep that in mind. You're not going to be $35 on top of something else. This is the whole...
That's it.
This is your whole DC expenditure.
Yeah.
So you don't have to. It's just I people tend to like packages, and it's kind of fun when you're coming in each week and, like, well, yeah, you're going to be getting 10 books a week.
For somebody who, let's say it's you're somebody who mainly gets DC... You probably should get all these,
Well, I mean,
it would be a bad deal for them to get all these.
No, and it's not something that's going to continue on. Yeah. Like I said, it's not. You know, you need to read these to be able to understand what's going on.
Once
this summer,
it's over.
Yeah, it's just this is really just a gap filler for while they're moving the company.
Are the Convergence like the main book? Is it like a weekly or bi-weekly?
Yeah, it's a weekly.
Okay,
and that's going to tell a big story, and then it's going to tie in with the other ones. But it's just, you know, like I'm looking here. What do we got? you know, Green Arrow, Christy Marks, Rags Morales, you know, starring from Zero Hour. So it's the Zero Hour character. We got Catwoman, Justin Gray, Ron Randall. You know, so it's just, it just looks like fun. And I think that's all it's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be anything serious. It's not, you need to read it all to understand what's going on. I think some of it was like, oh, you want, you know, you're missing, you know, this character here. This is the kind of their way of saying, here you go. You know, don't say we didn't give it to you. We're not necessarily going to incorporate it into the New 52, but here's your chance. Here's a couple issues with that character.
I wonder if they're going to continue to call it the New 52 after Convergence.
Well, you know, I talked to Dan DiDio either 1 year ago or 2 years ago, and they said the reason they keep on that is basically that lets people know what's in continuity.
Okay.
And if they don't, if it doesn't have New 52 on it, people think it's like a miniseries that doesn't count.
Or it's out of continuity.
So it's kind of like Marvel Now. Those are the books, you know, something like that is important. So like He-Man isn't New 52.
Right.
But they've just found it's just kind of a name. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's just a name. So
that's it. He said it sold better when you put New 52
yeah.
on. His
yeah, there was something that they didn't put it on because it wasn't, and they said the
they
numbers
even had
were
it
a lot
and that's what, even sometimes it's not in continuity. They, I think they put Batman, you remember that Damian book?
Yeah.
Yes.
They had it on it for that, and it had nothing
Damian's
to do with
New 52. Damian's not a Batman or whatever.
Yeah, it had nothing to
well,
do with
well, but that was also a future book, and, you know, future yeah. books are always iffy.
Yeah. It just, and that was okay.
Well, Justice League 3000 is part of the New 52, but it isn't.
That makes no sense. Justice League 3000.
Well, as I said, it's part of it, but it really shouldn't
be. Yeah, it
be.
Shouldn't be. Well, it's not even part of their Earth. It shouldn't be. It should be a part of the past pre-New 52.
Right. Pre-New 52 Earth.
Yeah, pre-52. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Da-da-da. Okay, I'm pooped.
That's a podcast, everybody.
That's a podcast. I'm going home.
Tune in next week when we'll talk about other comic books.
Orders are due Thursday, so the day you're hearing this, if you listen to it, the first day I upload it. But I have to go home and work on that because, yeah, I'm fresh right now.
Yeah.
9:45 at night, that's a good time to be doing data entry.
Yeah.
Luckily, the Blackhawks are coming on at 10:30, so I have something to entertain me while
I can watch TV while you're doing work.
I can, yeah. I have mad skills.
You'll be, like, you'll be up all night.
I'll end up ordering, you know, 2,000 copies of, you know, something.
2,000 copies of Squirrel Girl.
If only.
Say, he does like Squirrel Girl.
So, we'll talk to you next week. As always, an open invitation. If you want to come down, I mean, like, Josh isn't here. Not a... We got rid of him, so there's an open seat. No, but there's always open seats. So, if you want to come down, please come down. If you have something to say, even if it's, you don't even have to, you know, write everything, you know, we don't talk, you know, half the things Pat reads, I don't read. So as long as you, you know, just have want to talk about anything.
Then everybody else.
I will. So come this summer, I'm going to be reading every Marvel book. Think about it.
I'm going to
think
about
my head.
I'm reading more probably.
I might even do a package for that. But I think the problem with that is Marvel's a lot more coy about it.
Yeah.
And aren't going to let us know what all's going on. So we're not going to be able to.
Well, that's all we know. It's a pizza.
Right, the Marvel Universe is now a pizza.
Pizza smash.
Spider-Man's pepperoni.
Pepperoni. One piece
Ultimate
of pepperoni
Spider-Man.
Is going to fall off, called Miles Morales, and the rest of it's going to fly off into oblivion.
Yeah. So, I thought that was a really... I get the idea behind
he
the analogy.
Hungry.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, Brevoort was said, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that was Axel Alonso that made that analogy. So.
Tom Brevoort could not get up through that whole thing. Like, he sat there, and they were doing the preview, and everybody else gets out of the way, and he just is like...
Yeah, so you're looking at his head. It was pretty funny. If you haven't watched it, I do recommend watching it and see if
just
you can make
humor.
More sense of it than I did. But that's why I took notes. So we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood.
frozen up in your mind during this song, been freestyling there the whole time.
Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk, for all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs, for all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit, that's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip.
On these cats, right? Yeah.
Spitting the rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite. Watches the wisdom will babble these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save your kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm blonde when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block.
Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk.